Hello, good to be talking to you again at FOSDEM. Unfortunately, we are virtual again, but we will make the best of it. I am Bruce Momgen. I'm excited to be speaking to you today about future Postgres challenges. I am one of the Postgres core team members and have been working with EDB for 15 years. I give a lot of talks about Postgres. I have some positive talks about Postgres, like will Postgres live forever? And the democratization of databases. You can find those slides at this URL right here. And you can find this slide deck as well at that URL, along with 54 other presentations that you might be interested in. But today's talk is about future Postgres challenges. Not a super bright, good news kind of talk. Of course, if you're going to be a leader and you're going to be trying to eliminate or reduce the challenges to your project, you have to know what those challenges are. So we're going to be going in the next 25 minutes through some of these challenges and look at historically how Postgres has dealt with some of them, how we're currently dealing with some of them, and of course, how we can potentially avoid some of these challenges in the future. I will be talking in four sections. The first will be the current status of the project, which is actually very bright. And then I'll be talking about challenges in three sections. I'll talk about challenges to the project. I'll talk about competitive challenges. And finally, I'll talk about technical challenges. A lot of people, being software engineers, think of technical challenges as sort of the number one problem or the number one challenge for the project. But in fact, I would argue that the other two are equally, if not more, significant challenges to the health of the project, and I'd like to cover those. So let's talk about the current status of Postgres first. Current status of Postgres, as I said before, is quite bright. We have 35 plus years of consistent development, 25 plus years of major annual releases, and about 180 features per major release, although I will say that for Postgres 14, we actually had quite a number more like 210, 220 in terms of number of features. And that's kind of surprising. During COVID, obviously, our feature count went up, which is nice, probably because people had more time on their hands, they were more available. And of course, we put out quarterly minor releases, mostly bug fixes. The community has a healthy structure. We are BSD licensed, so the software will be available forever. Again, if you're interested in that idea, look at my slides, Will Postgres Live Forever, including video recordings of that presentation. We also have a diversified leadership, both geographically, culturally, and it is also multi-company. There's no one company that dominates our development, and that's a healthy thing. This is a chart about the Postgres 13 features and the contributors to it. As you can see, none of the slices are super huge. You've got a lot of spread around there. For example, down sort of at the bottom, the number of Japanese companies, and then there's a Chinese one over here, and European ones, and of course, big and small IT companies, Postgres-specific support companies. Companies that make software. So it's a great spread of supporters. And of course, that's part of our diversity. That's part of what makes the project strong. And we've been obviously working at cultivating those for a large number of years, including a strong Russian presence. So it is a very, very healthy group. Another aspect of the way Postgres innovates is to basically improve in multiple directions at the same time. Because we're a distributed development team, we kind of improve horizontally, vertically, kind of all together, depending on what teams and what geographies are focused on. So if you look at any major release of Postgres, you'll see advances in almost all of these areas: workloads, enterprise, easy deployment, cloud, big data, extensibility, NoSQL capabilities, multimodal, they call it, all kind of happening at the same time. So it's very impressive. It is the was the most loved relational database in 2020 by Stack Overflow. This is just a sort of a chart of, I'm sorry, the most loved relational database. So Redis was number one. We're number two. But again, it is on a very good trajectory and has been growing steadily for years and years. Okay, so just finishing that section, Postgres is healthy. What are the project challenges? What types of things challenge the project structure, the project governance, the reputation of the project? These are obviously important. They're not technical, but they are certainly important. One of the challenges is leadership disruption. Leadership disruption would be a case where the leadership was not healthy and either disappeared or took the project in an adverse direction in relation to the user community. So one example of that would be GIMP. Although many of you don't know, GIMP was actually abandoned in the early 2000s and later resurrected. Postgres also has a sort of resurrection story in 1995, 1996, which is when I started, when it left the developers, University of California, and moved into internet-based development. So that sort of handoff can be disruptive. In the GIMP case, it wasn't too bad. In the Postgres case, it wasn't too bad. In fact, in Postgres case, it was actually very good. But another disruption we've had recently is Red Hat basically taking over the leadership of CentOS and then changing its stability guarantees for its user base. And that has obviously given rise to Rocky Linux and other offshoots of RHEL or offshoots of CentOS to try and create a new project which returns to the stability guarantees of CentOS. So this is a cautionary tale for me. The idea that, as I said before, Postgres is multi-company. It has a diverse group of companies controlling it and not really controlling it, but involved in it and moving it forward. And we want to maintain that because we don't want to get into a situation that CentOS was in where effectively the Red Hat business requirements sort of superseded what the community wanted, and community had to start over with a new operating system that's very disruptive. So that's a concern. Reputation is, of course, very important, and particularly for databases, because databases lock user data inside them, and they are critical in most enterprises. So reputation is important. How can you lose reputation? We actually have a very good reputation, but you have to sort of spell out what things would cause you to lose a good reputation, and therefore you have to try and avoid those things. So security flaws or buggy releases would be cases that would certainly impact our reputation. Instability, poor performance, or of course data corruption would really hurt there. The only example I can really think of right for database off the top of my head would be the Firebird database, which was based on Airbase out of Borland. This is back in the late 90s. And they tried to basically create a project called Firebird out of, and the Firebird project's still around, out of Airbase. And what happened was that Borland had left a backdoor login in the code, and Firebird had released several releases over a period of maybe a year and a half until they realized it was there. And they, of course, when they realized that, they fixed it and removed it, but that hurt the reputation of the project because effectively they had not really, I guess, understood that it was there when they were reviewing the code. Or didn't think it was important. So, that's the only database example I can think of. Of course, other databases have buggy releases or releases that go slower than before. And Postgres has not had that case, but that's a serious problem. Informix, I believe, Informix 6, Informix 7, if you were around for those releases, had that kind of problem with buggy releases, instability, And it really hurt Informix in a serious way that I don't believe they ever recovered from. So we use those kind of lessons to sort of focus our attention and our energy to try and do a better job and avoid these type of reputation problems. Patent attacks, you know, I always have to sort of breathe in real deeply when I talk about this. This is an unknown for me and an unknown for a lot of software developers.